Good morning. So just to orient everybody a little bit to Philadelphia, when we look at our birth rate among women aged 15 to 19 years, we have some of the higher rates in the country. When you look at us compared to the rest of the United States and New York, while we have the same trend and we are declining, we still are quite high. Philadelphia, we also have a pretty high chlamydia, gonorrhea, morbidity among our 15 to 19-year-olds. We also have a very extensive screening program, and we also, including in that, we have prison screening, but more importantly, we have our high school screening program. And for the past 10 years, we've been able to screen more than 40,000 females. Obviously, our high school population are in our teenage years. And our positivities range between 6 to 10%. And the other thing that we've had is, as a PICSI site, we have started looking at our databases a lot more and saying, is there something there that we could look if they were all together, and we should try to merge and see if there's some questions that we've always wanted to know and that we can now answer. So that led us to matching our reported morbidity database with our birth certificates and trying to explore the relationship between chlamydia and gonorrhea, screening in the high school, and births for our adolescent females. And then we wanted to look at the birth outcomes and see what the effect of having a chlamydia or a gonorrhea diagnosis had on those outcomes. We included all mothers from birth certificates who were born between 1985 and 1993, were aged 14 to 17 at delivery, delivered between the years of 2003 and 2010, and for purposes of this analysis, we limited the chlamydia gonorrhea diagnosis to coming before their 20th birthday. So we included about 3 years of follow-up after we expected them to have had their last teen delivery, since we cut that at 17 years. We matched the data using name, date of birth, gender to take two systems that don't speak to each other and get one database. For the morbidity database, we have our official case counts as well as negatives from our special programs like our high school screening. So we were able to have a cohort who had some negative testing as well as positive. So we explored the relationship between teen CTGC and delivery. For females who had a birth during adolescent, we wanted to look at the various factors that suddenly were open up to us because we now had access to the birth certificate data. So we had things like number of prenatal care visits, where we don't normally get to have that type of data in relation to chlamydia and gonorrhea testing. So some of our results. Our teen birth rate for this cohort was 104 deliveries per 1,000 adolescents. Females. And then our teen STD rate was 278 infections per 1,000. And the combined teen delivery and teen STD rate was 44 per 1,000. When we looked at the 9,288 women with a teen delivery, most self-identified as non-Hispanic Black, and most were 17 years at their first delivery. So looking at our cohort again, we estimate in Philadelphia that there's about a little more than 89,000 females aged 14 to 17 years between 2003 and 2010, and about 10% of those had a teen delivery. If you pay attention to the gold or yellow side of the graph, 58% had no reported chlamydia gonorrhea. And of that 58%, only about 40% had ever tested within our high school screening program. So the majority of these adolescent deliveries have never had chlamydia gonorrhea, and for some of them, we have a documented negative at least to know that they had been tested at some point. On the other side of the graph in blue, you can see that 42% had at least one chlamydia or gonorrhea case report received by the health department. And then it gets interesting, because at this point, we had to start looking at the timing of when did that first STD come into play. About 40% have their first chlamydia gonorrhea test before their first pregnancy. About 27% have their first chlamydia gonorrhea during their pregnancy. And finally, 33% have their first chlamydia gonorrhea after they've delivered their first child. So at that point, we felt we had to stick with these four distinct groups. The people who on the far right who have never had chlamydia gonorrhea, and then on the others that have had chlamydia gonorrhea before their first delivery, they were having chlamydia gonorrhea during their pregnancy, or having chlamydia gonorrhea after they've delivered their first child. We found a significant difference among race and ethnicity, primarily among those with no chlamydia gonorrhea reported were more likely to be Hispanic or white or another racial group. We also saw a difference at age at first delivery. So among those that were having their first chlamydia gonorrhea after, only about 31% of those were 17 and above. And that kind of makes sense because they didn't have, 17 was the last year we included and they had had some time. It was interesting to see that about 61% of those 17-year-olds delivering had had chlamydia and gonorrhea before having their first delivery. When we looked at some of the risk factors and markers for the birth outcomes, we did see some differences by group. For those that tested within the Philadelphia High School STD screening program, we're not seeing those who are having their first child and then having their first STD after their first delivery. Only about 12% of those have ever tested within our high school screening program, and that was significantly lower than the rest of the groups. We also found that having a father named on the birth certificate was more common among those that had no chlamydia gonorrhea ever. Among those that were having their first STD during their pregnancy or after, they had the highest report of having eighth grade or less education. And then for those that had chlamydia or gonorrhea before having their first teen delivery, were most likely to report on the birth certificate having at least one miscarriage or abortion before this delivery. And then we look at the risk factors or markers that had no difference. Basically, there was everything else. Didn't matter if you had chlamydia, gonorrhea, when you've had it with your first teen delivery, married, using WIC, low birth weight, premature, NICU, having less than 6 prenatal care visits, if they intended to breastfeed, or if there was an adoption pending. So the last result I wanted to present was kind of this timing and where is everybody falling. So of the 3,918 females who had both chlamydia and gonorrhea as a teen and then had a teen delivery, where did they have that first STD and where along the spectrum? So the number of adolescents with their first STD is on the y-axis, and then on the x you have that timing relative to their pregnancy. So you can see, I didn't do that, in red, that a lot of infections were coming throughout all three trimesters, and that the lowest time what we were seeing the first STD was the first 6 months after delivery, which, as many have said, well, that's probably why, you know, you have the baby and that's not getting out too much. But it didn't matter along the spectrum. Every period of time, there was risk of having your first STD. So some strengths of our analysis is we do have quite a large cohort of almost 10,000 individuals, and our data are highly unique, and that's, you know, being able to link the morbidity data with the birth certificate data gives us a unique cohort. Some of our limitations is we're relying on morbidity data, and we know that we are missing case reports, and we can clearly say we might not have their first STD, and we might be misclassifying some within the groups because of that. And then there's also an error of reporting bias on the birth certificate. Many of us who've done research with the birth certificate data knows that there are some limitations there. And we also may not be capturing the first teen delivery for some. What we did is we relied on all of the birth certificate data that the mother's name had to stay the same throughout all the years. And there is a question on the birth certificate saying how many previous live births have you had. And about 3% of our sample had that with a range of either 1 to 6, suggesting that we might have had a mother change her name throughout, and then that limited us from being able to say that that was her first pregnancy. Sorry, delivery. So in conclusion, many of the females who had a teen delivery also had an STI during adolescence. However, the temporality between STIs and delivery had to be considered. We had four distinct groups with four very different characteristics, but overall there was no difference in the adverse birth outcomes. The high school screening program has tested about 33% of those with the teen delivery, but we're really not seeing those in the high school program after they've had a delivery. So our next steps, we're going to look at some spatial analysis and see if there's some variance across the city. We also want to look at the effect of having multiple teen STIs on the birth outcomes. And then we're really open to any other suggestions that you might have, because this is, you know, exploratory. We wanted to see what the data had, and if anybody has any great questions, I'm willing to look. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and open up for questions.
Hi.
Hi.
I won't introduce myself again. My thing is more of a comment than a question. What I like about this is that finally somebody besides me and the people in this room probably recognize that STDs and pregnancy are sexually transmitted. And we have a lot of talk here about sexual health, but then we also have reproductive health, as if they're two different things. So for the MSM, we're getting all this attention about sexual health, but reproductive health and sexual health are the same, I think. And I'm glad that you recognize that and we're having a dialogue about that. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello again.
Yeah.
Programmatically, have you shared this data with the folks who do any of the sex education and things in the schools? Because you just pointed out that many of the people who are getting pregnant aren't being tested afterwards, and you would think that in many school districts there are special programs for pregnant high schoolers. So this sounds like something that they would be very interested in knowing and potentially modifying their education to catch some of those people who are getting infections later.
I would hope that they would want to, you know, use this, and it is something to consider and to share with our school district and on sexual health. So thank you.
Thank you, Greta.